Some use their experience to prove that the gospel is not true, but that's a mistake. The fact that you've been bitten by a snake does not mean that the serpent is not on the pole. When you are bitten by a snake, what do? You crawl to where the serpent is on that stick, and you start gazing at it until you are healed of the bite. Now, lack has bitten you. Need has bitten you. That's the serpent that's biting. Then you now crawl to that serpent on the pole. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believes shall in him have eternal life. Eternal life is that which God has prepared for the supply of his need. So what do I start doing? I start looking. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't look at my needs. I focus on Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will look at that scripture until the fees are paid. Until the fee is paid, I look at the scriptures. Until money comes into my pocket, I look at the scripture. I will not for one moment get tired of it. Let it take a year. For a year, I am gazing at Psalm 23. Do you get what I'm saying here? That's Christianity. That's Christianity. It is not, Lord, for all the good I have done, you will supply my need. God said, if you want to be a Hindu, be a Hindu. If you want to be in Christ, let's talk. In Christ, we say, no, Lord, in Christ, you have supplied all my needs. Like I said to you before, faith has duties. I'm not talking about it now. But what am I saying? That we focus on what God has described as the face of Christ. We focus on it all the time. Sometimes you have to lift. Listen, the more intense the need, the more intense the gaze. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's what it should be. If you feel, I need to have my needs met. Jesus said, don't even come and pray about it. You know that's what he said? This will surprise you. So after these things, the Gentiles seek. You seek, now let me put my words now, seek the face of God. That is your need, listen, your lack, your troubles in life is a place where is an indicator for how lacking you are in your contemplation of Christ. Like, let me just say something that I was saying, what I said earlier before. I just feel like emphasizing it. Sin cannot, look, every sin a man commits, a woman commits, she should die for it. But Jesus has died for it. So if somebody tells you your sin will find you out, you go to Isaiah 53 and contemplate it. If they say what you are suffering now is the result of what you did in the past, don't argue with anybody. Just carry your scripture and start contemplating it. Yes, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, each one to his own way. He said, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That is how sin is washed away. That's how sin is paid for. You can't pay. You can't do good works. Listen, God is not calculating which one have you done, which one have you not done. Remember the story we told here before? I read it somewhere. Very interesting story. A man got to heaven, got the gate of heaven. He said, can I go in? He said, how do you qualify to enter here? He said, you need 100 points. The man said, 100 points. We should be able to do that. He counted all the offerings he had given. The angels looked at each other. Say, he's a good man. Give him half a point. The man looked like, what? I did not miss tithing all my life. Say, I heard you the first time. That church, I built it. We heard. I sponsored 50 orphans to go through school. Not to talk about the ones that are not orphans that I helped. Say, we heard you complete. Half point for all those works. And you are going to 100. The man said, no, I remember. I used to intercede for the country. The angel said, prayer is very powerful. Give him 1 point. That's 1.5. I was married for 50 years. I did not divorce my wife. That is rare these days. Give him 1.5 points. I did not cheat on my wife. Oh, good man. Add 1 point to it. The man, they counted everything that he did. He had reached like 5 points. At that point, he began to panic. He couldn't think of what else to count to enter this heaven. They looked heaven for that side, hell for the other side. The angels, you know, the two cherubims that the Lord put to guard the garden, they were manning the gate. Say, oh boy, talk. At that point, that they say, the man became frantic. He said,
It will take the mercy of Jesus to enter this place. So, down 100 points. Hey, you should have said that since now. What are you been doing here? Oh, yeah, come inside. You should have come in. Just come inside. When the man became frantic, he remembered the mercy. He just claimed the mercy of God as in Christ. And the angel said, you should have said you were one of them. You are here counting for us. Before they hear it, we roast you in hellfire. Christianity is not what you and I have done. It is what Jesus has done that we are receiving. And what I'm talking about, the pursuit of eternal life, is for us to know it so we can gaze upon it. We know it so we can gaze upon it. That's what I'm preaching. We know it so we can gaze upon it. It's something we pursue. It is ignorance that is the problem we have. There's something I want to explain to Christians when you talk about knowing God. Listen, sometimes you will think about it. This is how I grew up as a believer too. When we read the Bible, you are looking for instructions to obey. I remember those days, if you finish preaching, don't tell me one extra thing to do. You haven't taught me anything. One of the greatest messages we learned those days was Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So we learned to confess. We even learned how to write confessions down. We learned, of course, I remember when we read the book, the fourth dimension. We learned how to incubate and meditate. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters before God said. So before you speak, you incubate. So we became incubators. Yes. Every day we incubate. What do we want to become? If you want to marry, you begin to incubate. You dream of the kind of wife you want to marry. All of them based upon what you saw in home video. As you can be sure of that. You will sit down and be incubating. And I felt I was learning good word. I mean, each time I learned something to do, you learn, you open your Bible, you learn how to read the scriptures, how to open this. So each time a man preached, I wanted to hear something that a man was supposed to do. And I still remember very well, around 1992, 1993, if you preached and you did not leave one with me, I did not enjoy your message. I mean, I always wanted an instruction from the scriptures. But later on, I found out that is not the word of God. That's not the way it works. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Having contemplated the scriptures, I realized something. When God says, seek my face, you know what he was trying to do? The aim is that face of God. Once you have seen it, you are accomplished. What does that tell you to do? Nothing. Let me tell you the truth. What God wants from you and from me is just to see and know. That's why you see Paul always talking about being filled with knowledge. The word is epignosis, that is being persuaded and convinced. You know the truth? Christians don't realize that what God wants done physically comes out of our lives naturally. I don't know whether you get my point here. Listen, when you get to, you know, when you're talking about knowing God, Jesus said this is eternal life. That they may do what? Know you. What was he saying? If a man knows God, for example, we're given as an example earlier. If he knows the Lord, the healer, he gets healed without trying to get healed. Speaking against sickness in his body is something he does naturally. It doesn't mean Satan won't try to attack, but he so knows God, the healer, that if he looks at ailment and casts an eye at it, the thing runs. He doesn't come to learn 10 steps on how to get healed. No. But in the process of time, he has come to know God as a healer. So, he's reading, remember those my journals I told you about? He's reading all of them, and it's funny. Everything is funny to him. Why? He said, look, if you know God the healer, forget all of these things. It's funny to him. Why? He has discovered the face of God the healer. So when his sickness tries to attach to his body, and I said something to us at that time when we were talking about total faith. That when Jesus cursed that tree and the tree died, he was not going to next day check whether that tree was dead. It was Peter that called his attention to it. Why did the tree die? The spiritual substance in him was so powerful. When he looked at a tree and said, nobody will eat of your fruit again, the tree talked to itself and it died by itself. And he died thoroughly. The Bible says he died from the root. Now, there are two things there. One, he died thoroughly. Two, immediately, if you passed there, you wouldn't know the tree was dead. But the word had been released. It took some hours, but the tree finally died totally. Why did that happen? Because of spiritual power in the Lord Jesus. And I said something here. All right, I said it before. There are times, now let me give you, because of my natural training, I know a number of these things. A headache a man has can have scores of causes. Are you getting my point? For example, it can be stress headache, just tension. Some people that I know is hunger, when they are hungry, headache. Some is even pregnancy, when they are pregnant, headache. Me, I get a headache if I don't sleep well. If I start having a headache, I check whether I've been sleeping. And really, most of the time, I didn't sleep well. Now, we can go and say, it could be you have a sinusitis. It can be, let's get to the other extreme. It can be meningitis. It can be a brain tumor. And the tumor can be a severe type that kills in 3 months. All of them manifest as what? As what? So, headache is a fruit of many of these tensions in the head, these problems. But a person who's filled of this with the spirit, we have a headache first day, doesn't think anything about it. Second day, doesn't think anything about it. Third day, that's like, what kind of thing is this one? No one will eat of your fruit again. Did you know what I'm saying? Just drop a word. Now that word goes inside and decides the kind of root that's causing the headache. If it is food, and the man did not know, the word will suddenly move him to start feeling hungry. So he starts saying, man, I'm hungry. And somebody says, you've not been eating regularly. He doesn't link it to the headache. But the word makes him eat regularly. The word gets up, goes in there, finds out that it's a brain tumor, and melts away the brain tumor the man never finds out. He said to the headache, no one will eat of your fruit again. Now, nobody realized that that headache was a fruit of a brain tumor, but the word realized it. So the word went in there, melted the headache, the tumor, pulled out all the tentacles. What doctors will have described later as a malignant tumor that they cannot do anything about, the word knows what it is, melts it, kills it, and the man never finds out. God is not a bragging God. He's not trying to say, come on, do you know what I did for you last week? I healed you of a tumor. Doesn't matter. That's what the Bible means when they say the word of God is alive and what? Active. Please, I hope you're following my point here. That is what God, listen, he packaged all of this in the face of Christ. So he now says to everybody, say, look, stop looking for these material things. All the things you are looking for, they are in Christ. So he now says to David, seek my face. David said, your face I will seek. What am I saying? You don't read the scriptures to get instructions of, you know, how to live, per se. No. When the instructions are necessary, they will come into your life. But the primary reason you go into the scriptures is to know what God is like. That's all. The knowledge in itself is an end. It's not the means to an end. It is not as if, oh, let me know the God of supply so he can supply my need. No. Once I know God, if I find as a God of supplies, my needs will be met. But that's not the reason why I came. That was why Jesus was unhappy with them. They were looking for free food. Many Christians are looking for a quick breakthrough. Many of us, all the prayer we are praying, once God gives the money, we'll relax the prayer. But the fact is that no matter how much you pray, in fact, the more you pray and seek the face of God, the more you realize you need to seek some more so you can see some more. Because the face of God is inexhaustible. God wants us to know him. That's why we began this from. And I'm saying something here. Listen to this. We began by when Jesus said, you seek me. These people put in effort. They put in a lot of effort so that they may find Jesus. But he said, you are not doing it for the right reasons. He now said to them, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. He was saying, labor for that thing that releases eternal life into your system. And he said, the eternal life is to know him, the only true God, and Jesus, whom he has sent. What was he trying to say? It takes effort to know God. Are you getting my point? The same way people will travel to go and find where Jesus is so he can multiply food for them. He said, you should also travel, put in money, put in energy, to just understand that God is creator.
I don't know whether I get my point. And realize it with conviction. Like now we talked about Jesus now. Do you know many Christians don't, they don't understand what it means when you talk about Christ. To just go and find out that, okay, the word Christ, what does it mean? Now, this is not intellectual knowledge now, but you just want to get acquainted. Let us assume it was possible that God will physically show up. He wouldn't do that. Assume it was possible for him to physically show up. You should be content. Listen to this. You should be content with lying down there and just staring at him. That's what God is saying. That should make you happy. Look, let's go back to Psalm 27. As I was saying to us, listen, Christianity, I pray we understand what it is. Christianity is for us to gaze at Christ. And as we are doing that, His Spirit is entering into us. As that Spirit is flowing into us, it brings forth good works. That's why Paul said, He's the one that's at work within you, both to will and to do. It's a work He does inside you so that you become willing for good works. Psalm 27. Now, notice something here. Verse 4. He said, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek. What is that thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Please read the next line. I want that first portion. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. New Living Translation says it like this. Delighting in the Lord's perfections. Listen, gone are the days when I felt that every time I get the Bible, somebody must give me instruction on what to do. No. Listen to me. I found out when God wanted to show to Job what was wrong in his life, why did he go through all the affliction he went through? You know, he never told Job, me and the devil had a bet over your life. He didn't do that. It's you and I that now know that now. God gave him no explanation. Gave him nothing. You know what God did? God began to describe himself. He began to show Job his perfections. That is God's perfections. Not Job's imperfections. He began to show Job God's perfections. That's why Job said, I have heard of you with the hearing of my ears. He said, now I see you. What does that mean? God said, before Job knew that God was creator, but God now explained to him that, where were you when I said, that listen to this, when I set Orion in place, and I put the stars in their courses, where were you when I told the ocean, are you getting my point? God was describing what? His perfections. He was describing himself. That's why, listen, read the Old Testament, what you call Old Testament books, please read them. Enjoy the story, the Bible story. Adults, go back to Bible stories, and watch God deliver a nation with 300 men that were not carrying weapons. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, it's called the perfections of God. Just watch it. Listen to me. What is it doing? It's transmitting divine character, divine nature, appreciation of God into you. So that one day, now, this is not the reason, but it's one of the consequences. One day you'll be in the midst of trouble. Faith will stir up in your heart. There are 10, let's say, okay, let's get something practical. There are 20 armed robbers and kidnappers, all of them with sharp weapons, guns, cocked, all around you. And you are alone. But one day you contemplated God that delivered a whole nation with 300 men against an army, and the 300 men were not carrying weapons. Without, now if I say this to make you laugh, without any prayer, you just look at the men like this. That look in your eyes, we emit fire and men will die. You look and say, get it. In fact, boldness will come upon you. Tell all of you, get away. You know, you did like this. All of you, get away. As your hand is swinging like that, you will see breeze appear out of nowhere. Pack 10 men and their weapons and hang them on the tree. And they can't come down until you call police. You see them over there. Say, how did they reach there? Ask God. I'm going my way. Now, I'm telling you, that is what, listen, when the Bible says these things were recorded for our learning, it's not a joke. Listen, you go to a Psalm like 136, please. This, I'm telling you what Christianity is, real Christianity. Christianity is not, oh, have I given so that God can multiply? That's religion. Christianity is that God supplies my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Christianity is that I'm blessed so I am a blessing. Are you getting my point? That I'm blessed so I am a blessing. So when I'm giving as a believer, I'm not giving because I want somebody to multiply. I am giving simply because the Lord has poured a substance into me and he has poured the giving spirit into it too. And I don't deny him by being stingy. That's Christianity. Good works, it's an overflow because a believer contemplates God. Look at this. Psalm 136, very, very perfect. Listen to me, what am I teaching? Believers, contemplate the Lord. David said, this is one thing I seek, to go into his temple and behold his perfections. Look at Psalm 136. He said, give thanks to the Lord for his good. Do you know the truth? Sorry, let me just tell you this. You know, we keep growing. I still remember as a young boy, I used to read this psalm and say, no, I was trying to separate the difference between, you know, those kind of messages. They're not bad though, but I look back and I start laughing. You want to show the difference between praise and thanksgiving in this psalm. So what David was doing was to give thanks and to describe the praise of God, which is not a lie. Are you getting my point? And I got excited over that and I got tired of the psalm. Then after a while, I thought David had a problem actually, because he kept on saying, to him who does this, to him, 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 to him. Why didn't you just list it like that? We'll say, for his mercy endure forever, let's go. He will say one and say, for his mercy endures forever. Now so the psalm take long, go. But now we are older. We now understand that each line is a day of contemplation. In fact, I think somebody should spend 24 days, 26 days on Psalm 136. He said, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. That one alone is something to contemplate. What are you gaining from it? Don't worry. You're not supposed to gain from it. You're supposed to just receive it. I don't know what I get my point. Christians, we have become too used to, I do this, I get this, and I'll testify. No. I'm saying the aim of our lives is just to know the Lord. That's what I want you to understand. The aim of our lives is to know the Lord. Just the knowledge. Look, oh God, please help me to speak the words that your people will understand. The knowledge of God is the aim of your life. In fact, if you know him so much, a point comes, say, come. Except there is something special you are doing for him here. Say, come over to heaven. You're already cooked. Are you getting my point? You know, sometimes you are frying plantain, you look at one. This one don't brown. You remove it while the other ones are still frying. So your brethren are still frying. You come. You're all right. I'm telling you, Enoch walked with God until he was cooked, and the Lord removed it from the frying pan. Is that not in your Bible? Not exactly like that, but are you getting my point? He said, Enoch walked with God until he was not, for God took him. Once I read the John G. Lake. He said once he was looking at one lady. And he looked at her and looked at her and I said, this lady will soon go home to be with the Lord. He said, why? He said, she had contemplated heaven so much that you could see it in her face. And he felt that this woman can't live much longer on the earth. Earth is too small to contain her. Maybe a few weeks later, a few months later, the woman died. And he said, I knew this woman was going to die. The only thing to do was talk to her. You know that earth cannot contain this one. That this one has seen too much of God. Earth can't contain her anymore. After a while, I asked after, I said, oh, she has gone home with the Lord. He said, yes, I knew it was going to happen. Psalm 136. David said, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. You should lie down and meditate on that line. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Look at verse 2. He said, give thanks to the God of gods. These are things we should read and realize that there is no God but him. And no religion founded upon the name of any other God can withstand him. When I hear Christians shout, Islam is taking over the world, I say, you have not read Psalm 136 verse 2. He is a God of gods. That is, every other God on this earth bows to him. Every other one. He said, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Now, this is verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders. Are you seeing what we are doing? We are just looking at the character of our God. We are just looking at the face. That's what David was saying. God says, seek my face.
This is not just a poem. It's a description of God. And Christianity is that just sit down and contemplate this. The reason why Christians don't see wonders is simply that we don't contemplate the face of the God that does great wonders. See this smart device we all carry, all these smartphones? They have a huge plus and the minus is equal in magnitude. For most people, it's absolute distraction. Many people need, in fact, when I enter a class of medical students, I tell them, all of you, I've not done it even though I threatened. I said, tomorrow all of you will bring your phones to class. I want to inspect that you have removed Facebook. I said, I don't want you using Facebook on your phone. If you have to do Facebook, go to your computer, which you will do once in 2 days. But this one in your hand is making Mark Zuckerberg rich and you faithless. Why? Because you are too busy. You are distracted. A doctor jumped into Lagoon in Lagos. It was his discussion for how many days? All the people that God has rescued from suicide, nobody has talked about the God who rescues from suicide. Listen, this world is not engineered to support your faith. It's designed to wreck it. It is your job to protect yourself. Guard your heart with all diligence. Sometimes you go and buy Nokia 3310. Not the new one, the old type. You need to get Nokia 1110. Just get your text messages and your phone calls. If this thing is disturbing your life, Jesus said, if your eye is causing you to stumble, get an ophthalmologist to help you remove one. Yeah, that's the reality. Now, my point is this. Modern technology is very harmful to many of us. And I think it is one eye that many of us need to remove. Because instead of contemplating our God, it lifts up the God of Islam and tells you what Islamic headsmen are doing. Tells you how they kill 5 Christians because their God is dead. How many times have you read genuine testimonies of deliverance? They don't fly around much. Why? Satan is very active on social media. Let's continue reading. He said, to him who alone does great wonders, nobody else. Verse 5, to him who made the heavens with skill. To him who made the heavens with skill. These are things we are supposed to contemplate so that when they tell me they are launching Hubble Space Telescope so they want to see the origin of the universe, I have to laugh. I will have no choice but laugh. The origin of the universe is called God, the Father of my Lord Jesus. He's the origin of the universe. He made the heavens with skill. That's why I don't believe an asteroid will hit the earth and knock it out of orbit and raise so much dust all of us will die until we have sinned enough to deserve it. He's not going to do it. Do you know one day I found, how many of you know what they call Jupiter? Know what Jupiter is? It's a planet, right? Just about 2 or 3 spaces away from the Earth. That's in sequence. It's a bit close, but all right. You know, it's the largest planet on the in our solar system. It's how many times bigger than the Earth? Who knows? We are talking about the weight, the mass of it. It's quite big. One day, I read and found out Jupiter is the reason why most asteroids don't hit the Earth. I was surprised. Because the mass is so big, most asteroids that are coming towards the Earth, Jupiter pulls them and it hits Jupiter. And the surface of Jupiter is littered with asteroid impacts. I said, my God. That is, God put Jupiter there to defend this Earth from asteroids. To him who made the heavens with skill. Are you getting my point here? To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. I mean, verse 8. He made the sun to rule by day. Verse 9. The moon and stars to rule by night. Then verse 10. He began to describe things that the Lord had done on the earth. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn. And brought Israel out from their midst. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and made Israel pass through the midst of it.
and overthrew Pharaoh and his army, led his people through the wilderness to him who smote great kings, who slew mighty kings. I'm in verse 18. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, even a heritage to his servant, to Israel's servant, to him who remembered us in our low estate. Now, God is being described here and has rescued us from our adversaries, who gives food to all flesh. Food is not an accident. It's not a result of agricultural development. It's a direct instruction from God that food should come to your table. That's why every day we give thanks before we eat. He said, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Why have I read this? To show you what Christianity is. Listen, it's not about looking for instructions on what to do. It is contemplating the face of this God. It's contemplating the face of Christ. Let me tell you something about Christ again. I said it earlier, just by repeating it as I close. Christ is everything that God has done for you. Christ is everything that God prepared for mankind. Are you getting my point here? Listen, I want you to listen. Now, your Bible is not 2 chapters a day from the Old Testament, 1 chapter from the New Testament. I will go through my Bible in 1 year. That's not the aim of reading your Bible now. Reading scripture now, you understand, is the assignment for your life, so as to know the face of God. You can be in Psalm 136 like we have described now for a whole month. You pick each verse or a set of verses and contemplate them for you to know what God is like. Many times, we preachers of New Testament doctrines will misrepresent him, so men stop hearing him. No, it's time to correct some of those things. They used to say that God of the Old Testament is old. He has retired. The God of the New Testament is the one now in business. The God of the Old Testament was a harsh God. The one of the New Testament is a loving God. Lie. What did I say? We need to know him properly. The God of the law and the prophets before Jesus came is the same God that's still there after Jesus came. The only difference is that under the new covenant, he has now poured the life of Christ into the heart of everyone that will believe, making obeying him easier for them. But he's as terrible in judgment now as he was then. Now, when God judges people, nobody's there. There are no scribes to write his judgment. So we read them as news from CNN, and we say it's a natural disaster. He's a God that does those wonders. You need to know so that when you want to pray, you won't pray against natural disaster, you pray for his mercy. Nigerians have a lot of crisis. Sometimes some of the crisis we talk about. I say, you see, we don't understand the hand of God in judgment. We think Islamic headsmen are strong or Islamists are strong. They are not. What am I going to say here? When we understand this God, where we know how to plead for his mercy, we will understand that there are times that we need to rise and rush with intercession and with money to carry the gospel to certain places. Otherwise, the judgment of God will wipe everybody out. Stop talking about the devil. The only job he can do is to tempt and deceive. If you don't fall for his temptation, and you don't allow him to deceive you by focusing on the word of God, you'll find that there's nothing he can do to anybody. Our God is a God of heavens. He's a God of this earth. He's a God of gods. I like the way they say the God of gods. You know why? Those days, the Greeks had all kinds of gods. The God of fertility, the God of fire, the God of moon, the God of star. Even in Western Nigeria, where I grew up, we learned all of those when we were children. There's Obatala, the God of iron, Ogun, and there's Oya, there's Shango, that's the God of thunder. The Bible says he's the God of all gods. Many things were ascribed to those gods, that they are the ones that did this. If lightning strikes somebody and it dies, they say Shango was angry with him. But when Christians came, they realized that Shango, even if he's a god, is inferior to the God of all gods. So Christians became unafraid of Shango. And they tell Shango, if you come near here, I will flog you. So Shango left the Christians alone and went to those who are still worshipping it. What am I saying? Christians realize that if indeed lightning strikes, it's not Shango anymore. It is a God that rules John Go's life. Yes, John Go's life is ruled by God of heaven. Let's magnify this God. That's what I keep on talking about. When we contemplate the face of this God, we understand that indeed he's in charge. And nobody, that's my emphasis. We've talked so much about this devil as if he's the one that has power. No, nobody has power where he is. He's the judge of the whole earth. If people sin against him, he pours disaster against them. Let's understand who this God is. That's what I want to say. Because when people don't understand God, well, they don't fear him anymore. They don't fear him. He's a God to fear. He's a God to fear. Jesus cannot die, wash away from your sin, and you'll be walking iniquity recklessly. He's a God to fear. Listen, what is the quest for eternal life? That's what I'm saying. We spend energy. We spend time. Sometimes we take a leave. So what are you doing? I want to go and seek the face of God. What are you looking for? Nothing more than the face of God. This is when people say they are seeking the face of God. You know they are looking for something. I want to seek the face of God. My business has not been moving. I want to seek the face of God. The church has not been growing. I want to see the face of God. Yes, I've been failing too many exams. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. That is, at least that's a good step. That's a very good step. But what am I saying today? Even though church is growing, even though ministry is blossoming, even though money is coming in, every day you wake up like this, at the end of the day, you have made another 500,000 naira. That's not bad money, is it? No. Even though everything is working well, all the children are healthy, they are growing. They are growing in righteousness. You should still take a time and say, let me just go and seek the face of God. They say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for his face. I read Psalm 136. I've not fully understood what it means when they say he's a God of heaven. Then you take the Bible. And listen, get back to Bible stories. Just see that how God delivered Israel through Gideon. How he brought Samuel through Hannah. How he called Abraham. Why did they call him the God of Abraham? You sit down there and read it. 1 month studying, why is he called the God of Abraham? You want to see his face. Then one day he dropped the title, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. You get the New Testament? Apart from once when the book of Acts, they were describing him for Israel. That title was never used by the church. Why? They kept on calling him God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. You need to take a 1 year course in Father. What does it mean that God is Father? Simple thing that he carries his children. He does this. You know, say, what are you getting by that? That's what he wants. He wants you to know him. Assuming that I was God, I'm not. Are you getting my point? Just an example. And I come in like this. If I stand this way, well, you know what God is saying? Check how I am standing. Where's my face facing? Where did I keep my hands? What is the color of my suit? Does it have lines? Has my tie knotted? That's what he wants. And when you finish contemplating him, what does it become for you? The truth is that don't worry about it. By doing that, you have become what he wants you to be. If I tell you this, you'll be surprised. Well, you won't be surprised, the truth. As you are doing that, you know what's happening? When we contemplate God, that's how divinity flies out of him and clings to our body. Christianity is not a religion. It is seeing the face of God. And being transformed. Listen, you can't be contemplating the face of God like that and you remain a sinner. It's not possible. His holiness enters into your soul. You can't be contemplating the face of God like that. And this earth will hold you. Look, I said something. Sometimes I think all of us need to pray. Say, God, I need a vision of the earth from the heavenly realm. Are you getting my point? That God, take me out of the earth, suck me into the realm of the spirit, and let me look down at the earth from that level. You know why? If you get up there and you come back here, nothing on this earth will attract you anymore. You just be serving God every day. You know by serving God every day. Even if you are eating, you will realize that the food is empty. Your body is empty. Everything is empty. Emptiness is feeding emptiness. Vanity upon, you know, that's what someone said. Vanity upon vanity. That is, the food is vanity, the stomach is vanity. As you are eating, you eat only out of respect for order. Like, God, you know, if I don't eat, I will die. If I die, I won't be able to serve you and praise you like you said I should. So you'll be eating food out of worship. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, that's what he does. And all this one of praying against witches and wizards will disappear from your life. You realize that there are levels they can't fly into. When you look from above, you see the lowest cloud bounces them back. You know, say, you be witch. Are you not even ashamed of yourself? Give your life to Christ and fly to a good level. The Lord is good. I hope you got my point today. Let's bow down heads and say, Lord, show me your face. I want to seek your face. I want to seek your face. Say, Lord, I want to seek your face. I want to seek your face. Like I said, it's something we work hard at. We work hard at it. We work hard at it. Oh, Christians, like I said, get back to Bible stories. Just see how Jephthah, and not Jephthah, I wanted to say now. How Deborah delivered Israel. How did they overcome when they called the commander of Israel? How did they overcome? Just read the story. Oh, good story, Gideon. How did God give him strength? When they call him the God of Elijah, it's something to behold. Elisha said, where is God of the God of Elijah? That statement is one day of meditating. You go over all the miracles that God did through Elijah, and you see that indeed is a God that did wonders. Say, Lord, show me your face. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, show me your face. Lord, show me your face. I have not come to ask for anything. I just want to see the face of God. I want to see the face of God. When it says your sins have been forgiven, focus on it. Let nobody tell you that you have to pay your sins for your sins yourself. No. Your sins are in Christ. You've been washed clean. These are the things that kill HIV. There's no virus that he can't kill. The knowledge of God kills cancer. You don't pray about the cancer, you just see the face of God. He's a God that does wonders. Cancer will disappear. Say, Lord, show me your face. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
I declare to you that goodness will go with you.
Amen.
His mercy will go with you.
Amen.
Goodness and mercy will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God will go with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God will follow you into your homes in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I always like to quote this scripture. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
God will cause you to see his face at all times in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now we know what the face of God means. It means that at every time and under every situation, you will know who God is with respect to that situation.
Amen.
You will know that he's a God that does wonders.
Amen.
And he will deliver you in the time of trouble.
Amen.
Like we said, the Lord is your shepherd. That's what he is. For that reason, you will not lack.
Amen.
Lack is rebuked out of your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The next one week, doors that you thought were closed before, they will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If any door closes, you try to open it, it does not open. Don't worry, it's not your door. It's not every door that's your door. You know that.
Yes.
It's not every door that's your door. There are many doors that are in front of you. In fact, let me pray for you. There are doors that are open. You're about to pass through them. If it's not your door, it will close in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, I was watching this TV series, Shark Tank, a few days ago. Not yesterday, actually, this particular one. And Barbara Cochran said something. She said one day she wanted to sell her company. And we're going to buy it with her name. That is, after that, she can't use the name Barbara Cochran for anything again. Only that company will be able to use it. In fact, we saw another man that happened to him. They can buy your name. It's a brand. And they were going to give her $500,000. She said, at that time, $500,000 for me, it was as if God came down from heaven and kissed me himself. That's what she said. He said, what happened? Just before we signed the deal, they backed out. They said they are not doing it again. He said, I sold the same company a few years later for $66 million. He said, am I not lucky? He said, I was going to take the $500,000. But they said, no, we are not buying again. He said, they will have bought my company and bought my name with it for what I thought was a kiss from heaven. So a few years later, I sold the same company for $66 million. The door that is not your own, it will close in your face.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's a door here, but this week you're planning to enter. Continue trying. But I'm saying to you, if it slams shut, don't cry over it. Turn around and walk away. Say, Lord, I remember that testimony of a woman that was about to sell even her name for $500,000. But a few years later, she sold everything for $66 million. That is your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The door that's open, but it's not your own, it will close against you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, some of those, they will look very good. Though. You're about to get a job, and your boy's starting salary, $500,000 a month. And you're sure that promotion over the next few years, you'll be netting 2M every month. It's not a bad deal, it looks like. But life is not about money. Jesus said the body is more than food. Life is more than food. He said the body is more than raiment. That is the thing that will take you away from that which is real. God will close that door against you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So if this week a woman you wanted to marry disappoints you, don't feel bad. It will happen to somebody here. So when it happens, go and rejoice. Go and buy ice cream. Expensive ice cream. Eat it unto the Lord. Are you getting my point? When they say, why are you happy? Say, a door just closed. I realize it's not my door. God will open your own door for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There are places that look like walls right now. You don't even know there's a door there. It's about to swing open for somebody.
Amen.
A company that you were so sure they are not hiring again, they will give you a contract. No, they won't even employ you full-time. He said, no, just do this job for us, and that will be the beginning of your breakthrough financially.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember the name of our God. He's a God that does wonders. That's a good name to call him this week. You know what wonders mean? I like what R.W. Schambach said. He said, what's a wonder? He said, anything that makes people wonder. The best name I have found for wonder, the best expression, is the Yoruba expression. The Yoruba word for wonder is iyanu, which means that which tears your mouth open. Yeah, the word for wonder in Yoruba is iyanu. It means the thing that you open your mouth. Yeah! God will open your mouth this week in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He's a God of wonder. He will do something you did not know was doable.
Amen.
He will even do something you did not know should be done.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I remember that time when I asked my wife to marry me. She said she mistakenly said yes, which was a problem. You get my point? After she said yes, she couldn't back out again. So, of course, Shafshawa came to greet her father. And then after some time, you know, they said that, so my dad, my father, my mother, my auntie, one of my uncles, my friend, about six of us came and greeted them. And then she told me that later that she'll be walking on the road and she'll be pinching herself, I'm getting married. She was telling people, I'm getting married. She was giving dates. She was like, what is going on? I'm actually getting married. She did not even know. She had planned that. Oh, no. She's going to be a graduate. She's going to be free. I said, like, come and stay with me. God will do something for you that you did not even know time was due for it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody in school may get a job in final year. And they say, don't worry, start working. We understand. Just start working. You were not looking for it, but it will look for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A woman told me once that the pain in her leg, the time she left, she had forgotten there used to be pain there. The sickness that's troubling you, you will not remember it for the next 3 months.
Amen.
At the end of 3 months, you say, this back used to pain me those days. You won't even remember. You know, there are testimonies you don't know when to give because you've forgotten when it happened. That's why he says, it's a God that does wonders. He will deliver your children when you are not there.
Amen.
That's important for you to note. You can't watch them all the time. He will keep them from evil.
Amen.
Say amen, please.
Amen.
He will keep them from doing evil.
Amen.
And he will keep them from evil being done against them.
Amen.
When they are crossing the road, he will hold their hands.
Amen.
Your children will be guided. You know, Miles Monroe said, mercy, goodness. Those are the names of angels. When your children are crossing the road, goodness will hold their hands.
Amen.
Mercy will carry them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Or your household.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Over your life, God is a God of wonders.
Amen.
He's a God that does wonders.
Amen.
Please go home and start meditating about the name of God. Meditate about the name of God. Contemplate his face. He will release divinity into your soul. And you will speak against a pain in your chest. No one will eat of your fruit again. And heart attack will die.
Amen.
Cancer in the breast will vanish.
Amen.
Cancer in the stomach will melt away.
Amen.
Kidneys will wake up again to function.
Amen.
Strength will come to your limbs.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.